This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Yasmin Mujahid and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. Today I actually wanted to share some personal reflections that I had experienced recently, but on a larger scale. The topic for today has to do with the people that we encounter throughout our lives and the effect that these people have on our life. So basically, as we walk through life, there's a lot of people who come into our path that we cross paths with, people who come into our life, and people who leave our life. And I really believe that every person that we meet, there's some purpose why they did come into our life. And I also believe that there's some purpose why certain people leave our lives, and that all these things happen for a reason. And it's very important that we look into these things and learn what are those, you know, what is it that we're supposed to be learning from these encounters and from these experiences? Because subhanAllah, you know, one of the beautiful ahadith that I really, really love myself and I really relate to at a deep level is the one where the Prophet ﷺ says that people, that the souls are like armies, and that the people who recognize each other from previous, so there's like a different realm where the souls existed, and some of the souls knew each other and interacted with each other and recognized each other. And so those people who knew each other from that realm or recognized each other from that realm will have an affinity to each other in this world, and they'll basically get along in this world. And those people who don't recognize each other from that other realm will kind of be repelled from each other in this life. And so this subhanAllah, this hadith, it explains this sort of phenomenon that you sort of sometimes feel with some people, where you don't, you may have just met the person, or maybe you never even met the person. You read something that they wrote, or you feel like a connection with people, certain people. And you may not have known them for very long, but you just feel like an immediate connection. And a lot of times people will say things like, oh, I feel like I've known you my whole life. And it really is like that. You know, there is just like this natural connection that you have with some people. And subhanAllah, there is there's some reason for that. And so what I wanted to do actually was share a couple experiences that I had and some people that I met. And I don't know, you know, some of these people, if I'll, you know, how much interaction I'll have with them again in the future, but just how much I learned from just meeting these people shortly, and I know that all of us have experiences similar to this. But last weekend I was actually in New York and New Jersey, and I spent a lot of time in going to different parts of New Jersey. After I spoke at NYU on Friday, and then New Jersey, I spent Saturday and Sunday in New Jersey. And one of the places where I spoke, it was a masjid in New Jersey. And after the talk, there were two sisters that came up to me. And one of the sisters, what she shared with me, subhanAllah, it moved me so much, so deeply. Like, it was, every time I talk about it, or even, you know, just think about what it is that this woman is going through, it still shakes me. But basically, this woman, she told me that she had been listening to some of my lectures, and she was expressing appreciation for them, and that she had benefited from them. She had, I guess, read some things, but she shared with me her own situation, and it was that she has four children, and when one of the children was young, I think she was probably around 3 and a half. She said that the child was talking and was completely normal. And then one day she stopped talking. And I'm not sure which one it was, but one of them, the school calls and was kind of concerned that this child had just stopped talking. And they didn't know why. So they weren't sure, but basically she didn't start talking. She kept, you know, quiet. And so they didn't know what was wrong with her. They took her to the doctor, and what they found out was that she had a rare genetic disease, and Now, just get this. This is what the doctor is telling this woman. The doctor tells this woman that your child has this disease whereby, you know, she's maybe completely normal right now. She can talk and she can hear and she can see and everything like that. But she will slowly lose her ability to talk. She will lose her ability to hear. She will lose her ability to see. And she will not live past the age of 13. And she will suffer and then she will die. And this is what the doctor had told her about her child. And then she found out that she actually had 4 kids at the time. And she found out that her other child, well, she was tested and found out that her other child also had the same disease. And then found out that her 3rd child also had the same disease. And she just had her 4th child at this time was about 6 months old, perfectly normal baby. And so she didn't think, you know, there's anything wrong with that baby. But then she got that baby tested and found out that that baby also has the same disease. So this was something this woman was told about all of her children, all 4 of her children. And now her children are older. And she said that her oldest child, the one who was told that she wouldn't live past the age of 13, has just turned, and subhanAllah, I think it might have been the day I met her or right before, has just turned 15. So it was like she was telling me this story, and she was basically, she was telling me how grateful they were that this girl had lived. They had told her that she wasn't going to live past 13, and she had just turned 15. Now, like, my mind, it's hard for my mind for me to wrap my mind around this type of test, this type of trial that this woman is encountering. But there were so many gems, like so many lessons that I could just sit and learn from her just from hearing her story. But one of them is I felt that this woman was a walking, talking proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason is that this is a trial that I personally could never imagine being put through. And yet this woman was still smiling. She was still living. She was still just like everyone else. I mean, you'd find her and you wouldn't think that she was this superhero going through this super massive trial. But rather she was like, I mean, subhanAllah, like it was such a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when Allah gives you sabr, when Allah gives you patience, when Allah gives you rida, gives you contentment, that no matter what hits you, you have the ability to withstand it in a way that other people don't have, even if they're given something like so much smaller. So somebody can be given a trial which is extreme, you know, like I use this example, someone could be stuck in traffic, they're in a traffic jam. And they're freaking out. Like it's, you know, it's really like, a very stressful, I mean, I have to say it is pretty stressful, but you know, when you're stuck and somebody cuts you off, right? And it's like something like that is, it just aggravates you to such an extent that you just like kind of lose it for a bit. And yet other people can have trials like this, trials where you can't even imagine in your wildest dreams even being subjected to such a trial, and yet they're subjected to this trial and they're completely okay, mashallah. Now that is a lesson and a sign in and of itself that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that there is no power or change or strength or any ability whatsoever except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have no ability to withstand anything. We cannot withstand anything except by Allah, if Allah allows us to. And here's the other lesson, is if Allah does allow us to, if Allah does give us the strength and does give us the support, we can withstand anything. We can withstand things that we never imagined we'd be able to withstand. And it's all based on whether or not we have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether or not we've been given the patience and the rida at a higher level. At a higher level is the contentment, the rida. If that's given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can smile. You can smile even while you're in that trial itself. And one of the most beautiful examples of this lesson is the example of Asiya. And the example of Asiya always moves me because Asiya was a woman who was in, you know, one of the worst situations you can imagine being in. She was married to, this isn't just an abusive man. He's a murderer. He's a mass murderer. I mean, he's Fir'aun. He's in fact the most evil, worst person that ever walked the earth. And he's her husband. And he actually tortures her physically, and he takes her and he's put her in such a situation that, you know, many of us can't even fathom. And yet we're told that in this situation, she was given the ability, because of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she was given the ability to smile. And in that situation, she was able to smile. And it's because she asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show her her home in Jannah. And because he showed her her home in Jannah, she was able to smile even while she was being, you know, going through that trial in the middle of it. And it's like, you know, subhanAllah, such a lesson for us, because we, you know, we're not going to look up into the sky and actually see physically our home in Jannah. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can show us our home in Jannah, and, you know, our hearts can see that vision, that glimpse of our home in Jannah, whereby whatever is given to us, whatever trial we are going through, can become light, just the same way that it did for Asiya radiallahu anha. And that only comes by the help of Allah. If Allah gives us that help, then any trial can be made easy, and any trial can be something where even while we're walking through it, we can smile. And so what we need to do is not fear the hunger or the thirst or the loss. But the thing we really need to be afraid of is that the hunger or the thirst or the loss would come when we don't have food, drink, or, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hold us up. The idea here is that, you know, nobody would say that it's a problem. See, it's not a problem when you're at home and the fridge is full and you say, I'm hungry. Like, I'm hungry or I'm thirsty. It's not a problem. Why is it not a problem to be hungry or thirsty in that situation? Because the food is two steps away. You have the food there in the fridge and you have the water. So it's okay. The hunger and the thirst isn't the problem at this point. And similarly, it's not a problem if you feel cold, as long as you can walk over to the thermostat and turn on the heat. As long as you have a blanket, it's fine. The problem is when you feel hungry and or thirsty and you're in the middle of a desert and there's no food and there's no water, or you feel cold and you're sleeping on the street and you have nothing to cover with, you have no home, then that's when it's a problem. And so our concern and our fear should not be for the trial itself, but rather that the trial, because we know that the trials will come, but rather that the trial would come without the help of Allah to aid us, without the sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us the sabr, and at a higher level, the rida, the contentment to withstand that trial. Because if He does give that to us, if He does give us that sabr and that contentment, it's just like that person who's sitting on the couch and feels hungry and gets up and gets some food from the fridge. You know, that their provision is provided for them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that anytime He sends us the trial, anytime He sends us the test, He also sends the provision whereby we can that test and that trial can become easy, in the same way that it was for Asiya radiallahu anha. So inshallah, we'll take a short break. And when we return, I'll share more reflections on the people that affect us in our path. Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We are reflecting today about the people that pass through our lives and the lessons that we learn from them. And I shared a story about a sister that I met last weekend in my trip to the East Coast. And one of the other reflections that I had about her story, one of the things she had also shared regarding her daughters, or rather her children, is that they had come to a point where they can't swallow their own saliva. So she actually has to stay up with them at night and suction the saliva, because if she doesn't, they will choke on their own saliva. And I mean, just thinking about that alone, the fact that how many times a minute we swallow our saliva, and we never for a moment even think about it, that I could have just choked, but instead I swallowed. Like, this thought doesn't go through our mind, and yet this is something that is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is completely unseen by us. And when she told me that, I just felt like that this was a lesson for me, because I never even thought about it. I never thought about, like, to say alhamdulillah that I just swallowed my saliva, you know? It's something that we don't think about. And yet there are people in the world who will choke on their saliva because they can't swallow it. And I just, subhanAllah, the things that Allah, He showers on us of blessings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a latif. You know, sometimes He is subtle. You know, His blessings are subtle. We don't even see them. And subhanAllah, this is just one of them where I was, you know, and then we think about, you know, also like one of the hardest things, one of the hardest tests really, for a woman and a man as well, is for something to happen to their child. Because the love that a parent or a mother or a father has for the child is really unlike any other type of love. And you'll notice that even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a metaphor, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above any analogy, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that His mercy, He is more merciful to us, the example He uses is the example of a mother to their child. And He says that He is more merciful to His servant, to His slave, than a mother is to her child. And there's a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses that example, because we know that that of all the types of mercy and compassion that is in the world, that exists, that's the highest level. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying His is a higher than that, and you know, infinitely higher than that. So among the human connections and the human type of mercy and attachment and love, and compassion, this is the highest. And so to be tested in that is really unlike any other test. It's you know, when you think about the tests of the prophets, peace be upon him, the test of Ibrahim alayhi salam, what was he tested in? He was tested in his child. And you think about, you know, other tests where the Ayyub alayhi salam, his children were also taken from him. And Yusuf alayhi salam's father, his child was taken from him. These are the tests that are given to the serious superheroes of humanity, you know, the prophets, peace be upon them all. So for someone to be tested in that way, that's a very, very high level of test, because of the attachment that there is there. And subhanAllah, the other lady that I met, at that same talk, she actually, and I know this can't be a coincidence, that the two people, the two older, the rest of them were younger, and the two older ones that were there who had children, they both had, you know, the same type of test. The other woman actually had lost her child, in a very tragic accident. And when she described the accident to me, I was just amazed, subhanAllah. And the thing that really, really amazed me, one of the things that amazed me, is that these two women, I can imagine, you know, inshallah, may Allah build for them the highest level in Jannah. But I feel that these two women are of such a high level, inshallah, in Jannah. And I just felt, honestly, I felt honored that I was even in their company, you know, that even my path crossed their path because of the level that, inshallah, they're at because of what they went through. And what amazes one more and is extremely humbling is the fact that they were telling me that I had something to benefit them with. And that to me is extremely humbling, because I look at these women and seriously, these are the real superheroes. You know, the people who have withstood, you know, these types of tests, which we hear about in history books, you know, and these people are standing right in front of you. And subhanAllah, they're just, you know, they mix in with the rest of the people. They look like they're, you know, just the same. They smile, they talk, they laugh, they interact, but they have been and they are walking through, you know, some of the most severe trials. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their helper. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your helper, you can withstand anything. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'udhu billah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves us to ourselves, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never to leave us to ourselves, because when Allah leaves a servant to himself, you know, the dua of the Prophet ﷺ was, وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ. Do not leave me to myself, even for the blink of an eye. And this is so profound, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he leaves a servant, even for the blink of an eye, you know, that person is destroyed. You cannot survive if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to leave you to yourself. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to never leave us to ourselves. And inshallah, always be our supporter and be our help. And in that way, we can withstand whatever trial does come our way, inshallah ta'ala. Now, one other reflection that I wanted to share, because I did, it really moved me as well, and I felt that there was a deep lesson in it, was a story. This was actually probably about 2 weeks ago. And what had happened is a friend of mine, her mother had been battling cancer for a while, and she had passed away. So after a long struggle with cancer, she passed away. And again, you know, subhanAllah, when I saw this woman, so she had a gathering at her house, and I was asked to come give some reflections. And when I saw her, I was seriously like amazed that when I saw this woman, it was as if she was the same woman that I had seen every other time I saw her, the same pleasant, contented, you know, she just looked like at peace, Allah, you know, subhanAllah, bismillah, mashallah. And her mother had just passed away, subhanAllah. And this again is proof of the fact that it isn't the trial that makes things difficult in our lives. It isn't the type of trial or the what it is that's actually happening. What makes things difficult in our life is if we are not close to Allah, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given his help. And so we should never, again, you know, look at the trial itself, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the help by way, you know, so that whatever it is, it's made easy. And really, these were lessons in front of my eyes, seeing these people, subhanAllah. And one of the statements that she said, it really struck me. She said that while her mother was ill, and she obviously was helping her, and there was a lot of, her mother needed a lot of help, while she was helping her mother, there were people who would tell her, like, you know, you're getting so much hasanat and ajr, you're getting, you know, so many good deeds for what you're doing. And just her reaction to that was such a lesson for me. She said that to her, she said, I never even thought about it like that. She said, when she was helping her mother, she said, I never thought about it that I'm getting all these good deeds for this. In my mind, what I'm doing is the least that I can do for her. In my mind, what I'm doing is out of love, out of the fact that she deserves this from me, and that everything she has done for me, this is the least I could do for her. And what it made me think about was our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how that we sometimes, when we do things, when we worship Allah, or we do, you know, good deeds, sometimes we're thinking like, okay, you know, we're keeping track of the good deeds, you know. And like one time I heard in this talk, I thought it was really funny. It's like we look up and we're like, Allah, did you see that? You know, like I just did this thing. Like are you paying attention? You know, like not, jot that down. You know, like we're keeping track of these things that we're doing. You know, almost like there's this tally, and we're very pleased. You know, we did this, check, we did this, and you know, and we're kind of like, as if, again, we're doing Allah a favor, or Allah, you know, Allah, are you paying attention? I did this and that. And patting ourselves on the back and all that. But subhanAllah, like how she viewed it so differently. And she said that like what she was doing was out of love. What she was doing for her mother was because that's what she deserved. And that was the least she could do for her mother. And when we think about that's her mother, right? And obviously of all the people in the world who we owe, it's our mother. But let's think now at the level of Allah. If that's the mother and what the mother has given, now imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given and what's the level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. When we give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do we do it in the same way? Do we do it out of that same, you know, that idea of, well, this is the least I can do when Allah has given me, you know, just down to the ability to swallow my saliva so I don't choke, you know, and that's just, you know, that's just one out of an infinite number of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, which means that if you try to count the ni'am, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would never be able to count it. You would never be able to count all of them and keep track. You know, so are we, you know, what is our attitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And do we worship Him in the same way where we think, you know, I'm doing it out of love and out of the fact that this is the least He deserves. You know, again, it's a different mindset. And I think that, subhanAllah, there's a lot to learn from even the way in which we show gratitude to people. Because at the end of the day, you know, we'll say thank you if someone gives you a piece of candy, right? And you might even feel really grateful, especially if it's a piece of gum and you really need gum. You're a lifesaver, you know? And so that's like a piece of gum. And we're so grateful. Like, thank you so much for giving me this piece of gum. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers us with all of these blessings. And it's hard for us sometimes to even show gratitude or even to extract or feel gratitude for the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. So, you know, inshallah, it's a reminder to myself and others that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always showering His blessings on us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much, and yet we only repay it with sins. And it's amazing, because the irony of the whole situation is that Allah is in no need of us, and yet He gives us. And we are in desperate need of Him, and yet we only sin in response, you know, to these gifts which we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, what I want to do is actually maybe leave a couple minutes to get I know everyone, subhanAllah, has, you know, walks through the same path. Everybody is walking along this path of life. And we all come across people in our lives that have a profound effect on us, even if they come into our lives for a very short time and then leave. And even the process of leaving sometimes also has its own lessons. So what I want to do, inshallah, is take a really short break. And I want to hear from you guys in the chat box. What are some of your experiences? What are some of the people in your lives who have really affected and had a deep effect on your life? Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmeen Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. So right now, we are waiting to hear from you about your reflections. What are some of the people? Who are some of the people that have affected your life, even if they just, you know, came into your life for a short time and then walked right through? And I think in the chat box, at least, I'm waiting for it to refresh. Someone remembered the lecture. I'm just gonna the lecture that I was referring to that I thought was pretty funny was when we the reference was basically that whenever we do even a small good deed, we're making sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is paying attention. I think it was I don't remember what it was. Naman Ali Khan was talking. I think it was like something like they had prayed Fajr or they did something and they kind of looked up to the sky and said, Allah, you know, like, are you paying attention? I just did this. You know, keep track. But subhanAllah, it is a bigger attitude that we have about that, you know, where we want, again, the idea here is that we were in this contractual relationship, transactional relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we think it's like, you know, we're paying for it and then we're getting something in return, and it's a fair trade. And it is not a fair trade. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of His generosity, Allah makes this trade with us, where He says that He has purchased the souls, you know, of the believers. And then in exchange, He's giving them Jannah. But by no means is it a fair trade. It's because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and generosity that He's willing to do that, or that He does that with us. So some of the people, I'm still waiting on your comments and waiting on your reflections. So let's see. So some of the people are saying okay, other than me. So you, let's see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me you, Yasmin. Honestly, when I met you last year at ICNA, your lecture with the sisters was the most impactful. Jazakallah khair. Some people say, let's see. So a lot of people are basically saying, so different speakers, different public figures who have had, and alhamdulillah, may Allah bless the, you know, the shuyukh that we have and the people who have come into our lives. I mean, and these people, you know, one thing I really want us to do is to make dua for these people, because these shuyukh and these speakers and these public figures, they really have to sacrifice a lot to do what they do. And it looks really sometimes, I guess, glamorous, but there's a big price to pay, you know, for what they do. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them and to bless their families and to protect them and to protect their families. It's a really difficult struggle, and we don't always see what it takes, you know, to sacrifice, and the sacrifices that it does take for these people to give us what they give us. So may Allah preserve them and reward them, inshallah. So one person says that, like, 8 years ago, I met this brother who changed my life and made me want to be a better person, and why I wanted to be like this better. I feel like there's a blessing to me. So, you know, this what this person is sharing is that, you know, really something that we should keep in mind is that the effect that we can have, you know, we talk about dawah, and we talk about calling people to the good and forbidding the evil. And a lot of times we don't realize that the biggest effect we can have on people is just in making a connection with someone, getting close to someone. And then once you have that connection with that person, the effect that you can have on them is so much deeper than someone who just comes up to you in the masjid and tells you not to wear nail polish, right? So the idea here is that sometimes the way in which we give nasiha, the way in which we give the good advice, is completely wrong. We do it usually, a lot of times we do it, first of all, in public. It's sort of in a humiliating way, which is completely wrong. That's not the way in which you give nasiha. And second, we sometimes just give it to random strangers, and I mean, there may be circumstances where that is effective, but most of the time it's just taken in a defensive way because you have no relationship with that person. Sometimes it's a complete stranger who comes up to you at the masjid or at an Islamic event and tells you something, you just kind of feel like really defensive or insulted maybe by it. Whereas if it comes from someone who, you know, you say you really feel that this person cares about you and you have a strong connection and a bond with this person, say it's someone in your family or a friend, it's very different, because sometimes the sense that we get, I think, is that, oh, this person thinks they're better than me, right? Sometimes this is the idea we have. And I think it's really important to totally redefine the way we give nasiha, the way we even think about giving advice. And the way that I think we need to think about it is just like you see somebody and say this person is blindfolded. Okay, they don't see where they're going, but you are not blindfolded and you see this person running towards the edge of a cliff. So what's going to happen? If you see someone running towards the edge of a cliff and they have a blindfold on, they don't know that they're about to fall, what are you going to do? And in this scenario, if you have any care for this person, you're going to do whatever you can to stop them. But in what sense are you going to stop them? Are you going to stop them because you're better than them and you don't have a blindfold and they do? Like, that's not really the sense you're going to have, right? You're not going to be like, dude, like, I'm better than you because I can see that you're falling off a cliff and you don't see it. So like, just stop, okay? Like, that's not the way you're going to be giving that nasiha. Instead, you're going to be like, dude, I love you and I really care about you and you're about to fall off a cliff and I don't want that to happen. So you're going to be, you know, it's going to be out of a place of concern and not out of a place of arrogance and self-righteousness. So some of your other comments, let's see. So one person says, my eldest son fractured his shaft bone when he was 8 and was on full cast for about 3 months. He was amazingly patient, subhanAllah, and I learned about patience from him, subhanAllah. Never once during those 3 months did he complain about his discomfort in the cast. SubhanAllah. May Allah protect and bless him always. SubhanAllah. That is amazing. You know that this child, an eight-year-old, who was in that situation and yet didn't complain. And this is, again, a sign from Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him patient. Whereas, you know, a lot of eight-year-olds, they can't be patient, like if they didn't get like a certain video game, you know? So this, and yet this child was able, subhanAllah, by the grace of Allah, to be patient that he was stuck in a cast. So subhanAllah, again, you know, the help comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and our families and to always provide his rizq, his provision, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's provision comes in different forms. So sometimes the provision comes in the form of food, sometimes money, and sometimes it comes in the form of sabr, in the form of patience, and sometimes if we're very, very blessed, in the form of rida, which is the highest level, and that's contentment, where we actually feel content at the decision of Allah no matter what it is, and not only patient but also content. And another person shared that there's a brother in our community who has changed the way our whole community thinks here in South Jersey. He taught us to actually love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not just always to fear Him and to keep a distance from Him. We forgot that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman as well. Thank you for sharing that. That is, you know, this is actually, I think, one of the biggest mistakes that we make in how we teach our children growing up and just in general how we teach about Islam, is in this way, which is so much about haram, haram, hellfire, hellfire. And when we tell, even when we're talking to children, it's amazing. You know, when you see how children are taught in Sunday school, it's usually to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you don't do this, you're going to go to hell. And I feel like this way and this focus is very dangerous, because first of all, these children don't understand the full concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yet. The first thing they should know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not hellfire. It is not His anger. It is what is greater than His wrath. As He Himself said, it is His mercy. And Allah Himself has said that my mercy supersedes my wrath. My mercy is greater than His wrath. So why are we teaching His wrath and not teaching His mercy? I don't understand. It's where we've completely, you know, we've changed the order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself gives, that His mercy is greater than His, and He says, "Rahmati wasi'at kull shay," that my mercy has encompassed every single thing. And this is what we need to do to attach the people, you know, children, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through love. Because here's the amazing thing, is when you grow up feeling like everything you do, like if you make a mistake, you're going to go to hell, right? If you make a mistake, I think that the problem with this is, what are you going to feel about if every day I come to you and I say, you know, I mean, why is it that people start to hate police officers? You know, it's like, even though police officers, you know, they're supposed to like be doing a good thing, but the reason people hate police officers, or some people are scared of police officers, is because they might see, oh, like if this person got punished by that police officer and this person, and so you sort of want to just stay away from police, right? You see a police officer, I mean, I know I do. I'm driving and I see a cop and it's like, I know he's going to find something. I'm going to do something. And so you're kind of really uncomfortable. You're not going to go and be like, hey, what's up? And you want to sit and talk to the police officer. You just want to avoid the police, because everything you hear about the police is him punishing people, him, you know, fining people, him jailing people. You want to stay away. So this concept we put in our children about God, that, you know, if you do this one thing wrong, you slip this or that, he's going to put you in hell. And so then children grow up and they're just, sometimes they just don't want to have anything to do with religion, because they are, the concept they have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so skewed. And there isn't, it isn't out of love that they are taught to worship him, but rather out of, you know, just stay away from this whole idea, because if I mess up, I'm going to hell. So subhanAllah, you know, even the concept of fear, and I wanted to share this example because I think it's such a perfect example, you know, that the example of how we should be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a bird, right? And the bird has two wings and then it has a head. So the head of the bird is love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the example, it's either Ibn Taymiyyah or Ibn al-Qayyim who give us this example, rahmatullah alayhum, that the love should be the head of the bird, and that's what drives the bird. That what should be driving our actions, what should be driving our life, is this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the two wings which need to balance the bird, on one hand is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of his punishment, the fear of his wrath. And on the other hand, the other wing of the bird is hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at this analogy, it really is, it's so perfect, because what happens if one of the wings of a bird is too weak? Then the bird can't fly properly, and then that bird becomes susceptible to being shot down. It's not stable. So if we have too much hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not enough fear, then this is a situation where we think we can do whatever we want, and, you know, we're not actually striving, because we have our hope is overpowering the fear. Similarly, if we have too much fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not enough hope, this is also a situation where you end up unstable, because you think that, you know, you're so afraid, and you think sometimes even people will say, will lose hope because they're so afraid. They think that, oh, I've committed too many sins, so there's no hope in me even trying. And so that bird also can't fly properly. So you have to have the two, you know, the hope and the fear need to be balanced. We're told by the Prophet ﷺ that there are some people who they might spend their whole lives doing the action of the actions of the people of paradise, and as soon as they're so close to paradise, just an arm's length away from paradise, they do something from the action of the people of hellfire, and so they enter it. And on the other hand, there could be someone who spends their whole life doing the actions of the people of hellfire until there's an arm's length away between them and hellfire. And then they do the action of the people of paradise, and so they enter it. So the idea is here: we should never lose hope, because we can always Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's door is always open so long as we're still alive and we're still breathing. And at the same time, we should also never get so comfortable, because at the last moment, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the hearts in his hand, and we know, we don't know what will happen at the last moment. We should never be, you know, think that we're okay, because even the greatest people, Umar radiallahu anhu has a famous statement that if everybody except one person, we're told everybody except one person was going to enter hellfire, he was going, if only one person was going to be saved from hellfire, he would hope that it was him. And similarly, if only one person was going to be enter Jannah, or rather was going to enter Jahannam, he would fear that it was him. So he had both the fear and the hope. And Abu Bakr would say, radiallahu anhu, that even if he had one foot in Jannah, he would still worry that he wouldn't enter it. So there was, you know, still that concept of love, of hope and fear, even in these greatest examples. Inshallah, I'm going to take one more. It's so common for parents who themselves are ignorant about their own faith to resort to scaremongering like that, because they can't be bothered to rationally, logically, and lovingly explain the beauty of God's religion to their child. And it is, I think that sometimes it isn't like parents are doing it on purpose, but sometimes parents are teaching what they were taught. And what we have to do is we have to stop the cycle. We have to come back to, I think, the correct, you know, the the correct balance of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which needs to be driven by love and balanced with hope and fear. And inshallah, you know, convey that to our children. Because if you think in the example we gave about the police, now think about telling your child every single day. Imagine telling your child every day, okay, here's a gift, and this gift is from your grandmother. And then the next day, here's a new gift, and this gift is from your grandmother. And then another day. And every single day of this child's life, he gets a new gift. And you tell that child that this gift is from your grandmother. What's going to happen inside the heart of that child for his grandmother? What's going to happen is he's going to love that grandmother, even if he never saw that grandmother. But you tell them every single day that this gift is from your grandmother, then that child is going to love his grandmother, even without seeing her, even without meeting her. That attachment's going to be built. And if we tell our children, we teach our children that everything you have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you these things is because He loves you. And should you not love then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, you can teach your children in this way to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that love is there, I think and I hope and we pray that no matter what path this child takes as they grow up, that they'll always have that somewhere underneath. And inshallah, at some point we'll come back to it, even if they stray this way or that way. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه غفور رحيم سبحانك الله وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.